Richard. It's a great pleasure to be here again. Fellowship and communion, one with another. I noticed a little pamphlet out in the hallway called Mental Health Services. Maybe that's why some of us have come here today, friends, because we need a little mental therapy, spiritual upbuilding, a little bathing in the oil of the Holy Spirit, maybe a little adjustment of our bones, chiropractic treatment, little reminders from the Word of God concerning the standards that we as Christians profess and uphold. Whatever the reason we're here, friends, we trust that you and the Lord's grace are receiving a blessing and accepting the admonitions and encouragement in the spirit in which each brother is endeavoring to render these. As the role of a servant, Brother Ted Smith mentioned, isn't a very good... All it takes is that, and there's a servant there. But I'm going to discard that, and I'm going to grab hold of something that's just like a shovel. And we're going to talk about trees. So we're going to be tree planters. Remember that little poem that we will start with? Trees. I think that I should never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robin in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Yes, poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Joyce Kipler. Tree. From the beginning of time, trees are mentioned so frequently. In the creative day in which God arranged for the planting of trees and the sowing of trees throughout the earth, have you ever thought that he could have omitted trees and given us flowers, plants of various kinds? But he gave us trees. And better still, he didn't give us one variety. He gave us hundreds of varieties of trees. And because of their extensive use in the Word of God, we think that the Lord had something in mind, some great lessons that we could draw from as he used trees to illustrate various things. But right back into the Garden of Eden, you remember that the thing that Adam was forbidden to do was, you must not cross over that creek, because in the day thou dost, thou shalt surely die. You must not climb that mountain over there, or that range over there, because the day thou dost, thou shalt surely die. No, he used a tree, something that was a living symbol of life, something that had life in it, that if they were to eat of that forbidden grove, then they would die. Because of the act of disobedience, of course, they were barred from the Garden of Eden and not even allowed to put forth their hand to taste of the fruit of that grove that would have sustained life. And so the knowledge of good and evil came to Adam and Eve by a bitter experience, which was identified with the loss of their own life. Because here was a symbol of something in which they were forbidden to touch because it represented life itself. You remember in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, a text so common to us about that first original dominion that God arranged for. He made man in his image and he gave them dominion over the fowl and over the fish and over every living creature. Oh, this is a wonderful dominion, off to for an excellent start, brethren. But you remember what happened? Well, we have to go to Daniel and we find out what happened. And there the Lord employs a tree. In the fourth chapter of Daniel, there's a story that concerns Nebuchadnezzar. But in the vision, you recall how he saw a tree and its branches reached up into heaven. Oh, such a wonderful foliage. And then, look, all the animals were gathered underneath. It afforded protection. It afforded protection, didn't it? Wonderful. But then I saw someone come up, an angel came, and he cut that tree down. It toppled over. He stripped the branches away from it. And the animals became fearful and they fled away. Well, here the Lord uses a tree to picture the original dominion in the Garden of Eden, in which would have been a wonderful dominion if God's plan at that initial stage had continued. But not interfering with man's free moral agency, we can see that it was necessary to cut down the tree because of the act of disobedience of Adam, and his dominion was taken from him. And fear and trepidation came between him and his associates in this kingdom, the animal kingdom, the birds, and so on. The man was cast out. But then the angel said, leave the stump, don't dig the stump out, just leave it there, but put a band around it of iron. And then a little lower down, I want you to put on another band of copper. Because you know you can leave a stump in the ground and it will again come to life. But this tree, this original dominion, depended upon two things. One, God's justice that executed the judgment against Father Adam and his children, represented by that strong band of iron, as God's justice began to react through the centuries that rolled on. Dying, thou shalt die. It held man in its grip, but there was a little copper band there. Copper in the Bible represents perfect humanity. And so if someone, suggested here by this band, could take Father Adam's place and meet the demands of justice, then this trunk would be able to expand and would once again revive. And that original plan of a dominion that God arranged for it would be a reality within the long-range scope of God's plan. And how happy we are then that root and that trunk will bear fruit and will expand, and God's kingdom will be a reality in due time, extending from what rivers to the ends of the earth, when he shall reign from sea to sea. Yes, right from the beginning, God uses trees to portray various things. Trees are so practical. They are provided medicine for man, for shelter. But we have another tree in mind. We'll turn to the first Psalm. A very interesting tree. Something very special about it, it seems. Only God can make a tree. Let's see. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Chapter 1, 1 to 3. Who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Turning to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 7 and 8, we find a companion text. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out their roots by the rivers, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Isaiah 61, 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to bind up the broken hearts, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to appoint unto them that mourn and give them beauty for ashes, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. A tree planted by the waters. The Hebrew suggests to us that these are special trees, special planting of the Lord, prepared trees along a select and choice waterway so that they may have quick and rapid access to the water that will sustain the life of the tree. Many years ago, during the war, when I was posted on Vancouver Island in the British Columbia Forest Service and in the state of Washington as well, there were young men out planting trees. Great, tender, loving care was needed to provide this new forest, which the previous forest had been had been logged off and burnt, and nothing but ashes were visible as we tramped around in these. And we were engaged in tree planting. We had our little sack of trees beside us. And we took them out gently, and we were to prepare a hole in the ground in a nice place, not on rocky areas, but where there was ample earth so that the roots could spread out. The hole was to be large enough so that the roots could be spread all out, and then the earth put gently back, and then we used our heel to give that necessary pressure so that the dirt would go right around and work right around the roots and give it strength and uprightness to withstand the weather. Special trees, special planting, special preparation. This is the thought in the Hebrew in the first psalm. These are a tree planted. Special planting of the Lord. Just didn't fall there. If anyone is telling you, brethren, that you just happened to flutter down as a little seed and land in amongst the Lord's people, just remember you are the special planting of the Lord. You're here because the Lord has called you. He passed by. And we touched the hem of his garment. Special planting of the Lord. By no means accidentally, brethren, have you or I, by his grace, come into the truth. The New Testament confirms this facet of the confirmation of the Hebrew in First Psalm. Paul says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a special planting of the Lord. In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 11, around the subject matter, we're told about Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, and then that he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, or as the Hebrews suggest again, are all of, Greek suggest, all of one origin, whereby he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Yes, they have one common Father. The Heavenly Father is the one that backs and begets this family. Through his Son, of course, that has made the provision. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You are here, then, brethren, because God wants you here. It is a divinely planted tree. Each one did not accidentally come into existence. And at great cost, indeed, was this grove of trees arranged for. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 25 to 27, you remember those very beautiful words. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. At the cost of Jesus' life, this new grove was brought into existence. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God for us. For this new grove, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a specially planted and prepared tree. 2 Corinthians 6:1-3. We are now in the tree business, friends. We are in the tree business. We are co-workers with God, co-workers with him, tree planting, assisting in bringing into existence this marvelous work in its season. Now is an acceptable time. Now is a day of salvation, a special day for the preparation of this new grove. And once this new grove of tree, friends, has been found, selected, and developed, it will cease to exist upon this earth. Yea, indeed, they will be given a reward that transcends the human mind. Now is a day, set time. When that time is reached, the work that you and I are engaged in preparing this new creation, this new growth, will be over. We should be diligent, brethren, assisting, helping the growth of these trees, in no way harming the tender root system, which might cause the death of any one of these trees. Back to Psalm, the first chapter, we read, it planted by the rivers. They are planted by the rivers. I wonder why they're planted by the rivers. In the 107th Psalm we read concerning this class, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let these new trees say so. "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south." Now they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry, thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that he might go, that they might go to a city of habitation. It's because you and I thirsted and hungered, friends, because of this condition of heart, the Lord then looked down, and we fell within the scope of those blessedness in Matthew, the 5th chapter, 5 and 6. "Blessed are they who thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." These rivers, these trees are planted by the waters of life. It is because of this, then, that we depend upon the water of truth, friends, to nourish and to strengthen our root system, or we die. "Sanctify them through thy truth." Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Error never sanctifies. Truth always sanctifies. They heard Jesus say that they would become wells of water themselves. And the wise man says, in describing them, springs shut up, sealed, that these wells are shut up now, because they are going to be brought together in one great river, as Ezekiel and the Revelator tells us about, that flows from the throne of God. In the meantime, we are each wells of water, drawing up from the well, from the truth, the river of truth, the source, the Word of God. And as individual wells, we'll be brought together in one great river, of which the Revelator says, whose leaves would be for the healing of the nation. In Genesis, the 24th chapter, concerning the selection of a bride for Isaac, and Eliezer went out, representing the Holy Spirit. And you remember where he found Rebekah? Out in the desert? No, it was by a well, drawing water. And that's where Rebekah was found. And that's where every one of these trees has been found, searching for truth, for the answers of life, and searching after God, that happily they might find him. It has been this searching condition that the Lord has looked down upon, friends, and has rewarded each one of us by his grace. And when we find that precious truth, the precious water, we must remain there, friends, as a tree does not become disgruntled with its state and condition, but sends out its root system deeper and deeper to sap up, as it were, all the moisture possible to maintain the growth, proper growth of this tree. Because our psalm develops for us other facets concerning the need of the water of truth and what it will do for us. The psalmist says that bringeth forth fruit in his season. Each fruit matures at its proper season. And so the Christian is expected then, friends, as a tree, to bear fruit in its season. And the husbandman is pruning each tree to develop the fruitage. After all, Jesus reminds us in John 15 and 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you know every detail of truth." He doesn't say that. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." This is what we are to concentrate upon, brethren. Fruitage. We may have the truth in its accuracy. Indeed. We may understand chronology and all its various ramifications. But unless this is bearing fruit in our lives, it is not profiting us, friends, too much. So while knowledge is necessary, knowledge is a means to an end. Knowledge and understanding and facts of God's plan has been extended to us, brethren, as the water of truth, as that river which we are planted by, but the purpose of it is to bear fruit. Let us never, never forget that. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, 22 to 26, we have enumerated for us some of the fruit which beareth fruit, the psalmist says, in his season. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So they might, according to the psalmist, bear fruit in their season. So in our lifetime and in its experiences, brethren, at home, with the brethren, at work, or by ourselves, there are conditions and circumstances in which some of these fruitage must be visible. Joy. There are those times in their season which indeed we must find and feel and experience the joy of being in the favor of the Lord and understanding His plans and purposes. There's that time when peace must soothe our souls and appreciate that this is the present inheritance, part of it, that the Lord bequeathed to us. My peace I leave unto you. There are those times when this peace is ruffled. But there are those times when we must experience the blessedness of the peace, each fruit in its season, as we respond and react to the various conditions of life. Love. Love is necessary to bear in its season with the various experiences that we meet with those that we are associating with, because love is long-suffering. It's not a fellowship and a relationship, brethren, that is merely surface. The love of Christ that constraineth us and holds us together is deep-rooted. Deep-rooted. And we are concerned, properly so, one for the other. Therefore, love must bear its fruit in its season. Long-suffering. Not easily to fly off the handle, to be disturbed and part with our brethren. But part of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. A law represents a restriction, something that governs us. But there's no restriction as to the amount of fruit, friends, that we can bear, should try to bear, and to go all out to bear. In any of these, we endeavor to work on these constantly, brethren. And John 15:16 says that your fruit should remain deep, lasting, not vacillating. The psalmist goes on to say, his leaf shall not wither. And leaves in the Bible represent professions. And in Matthew 24:32, we learn concerning the fig tree, when he first puts forth its leaves. No fruitage on this tree yet. This represents the Jewish nation. We see all kinds of representations of leaves on this Jewish tree as they return to Palestine. But what about our leaves? Romans 8:14-15. Our leaves concerning our professions as new creatures in Christ, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. Let's guard this area well, friends. Because there are those that feel that spirit beginning is not in order at the present time. Guard well your leaves, your profession as a new creature in Christ. Make thou thyself to me is a very dear prayer. A living, bright reality, more intimately nigh than even the sweetest earthly tie. Let's work on that so that our leaves, friends, will not wither when the heat and the trials and experiences of life come upon us. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you have an unction from the Holy One, and you all know it. Like Paul, whose leaves did not wither, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All this by grace. For the love of Christ constraineth us. We thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Henceforth we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him that died for us. The psalmist says, whose leaf shall not wither. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Should be a characteristic then of these trees and their leaves and their professions. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And why are they liable to wither? Because Paul says, notwithstanding our building upon that one foundation, the fire of that day shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And we will need to take unto us the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. girded about. Faith in God when things go right. Faith in God when things go wrong. Faith that we are in Christ's second presence. Faith that the right of Satan has been challenged to be the rightful God of this world. That his house has been entered into. And that the thief is destroying within the works of this God of this world. Faith that he will carry us through. Trees, only God can make a tree, this kind of a tree. Have you ever heard trees talk? Well, Isaiah 14 and 8 tells us they are going to talk. The fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, listen to the cedar of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. And here the Lord uses a tree then, not only to represent Christians, but also to represent mankind. That under the conditions of the kingdom, the cedars and the trees will talk one to another and say, since that feller has been cut down. Oh yes, mankind is like a giant forest. And in comes that feller, Satan, that has been cutting down mankind for 6,000 years. And reverting back to verse 7 of Isaiah 14, because that feller of trees has been cut down, been removed, no feller has come up against us. They are now in kingdom conditions to enjoy the blessedness of the full extent of the kingdom of God. But what kind of trees are Christians? Psalm 92 and 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow up like the cedars in Lebanon. Palm trees, tall, stately, whose fruitage at the top, and which seems to be extending its arms to reach into heaven. Oh yes, how pictorial of the Christian. As we sit in heavenly places, as compared to another tree, Psalm 37, 35, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like the green bay tree. The green bay tree is a short tree, and some of its foliage have been known to extend over an entire acre in which the sunlight cannot penetrate. Darkness, a symbol of darkness, of that of evil and evil practices and of evil men, as contrasted to the stateliness of the palms. Yes, only God can make a tree. And there are trees today, friends, in existence that lived at the time of Christ. I'd close with this. The redwoods. Here sown by the Creator's hand, in serried ranks the redwoods stand. No other clime is honored so, no other lands their glory know. The greatest of earth's living forms, tall conquerors that laugh at storms, their challenge will unanswered rings through 50 centuries of kings. The nations that with them were young, rich empires with their forts far flung, lie buried now, their splendor gone, but these proud monarchs still live on. So shall they live when ends our day, when the crude citadels decay, for brief the years allotted man, but infinite perennials span. This is their temple, vaulted high, and here we pause with reverent eye, with silent tongue on awestruck soul, for here we sense life's proper goal. To be like these, straight, true, and fine, to make our world like theirs a shrine. Sink down, O traveler, on your knees. God stands before you in these trees. The Lord has blessed you.
Thank you, Brother Charlie, for that lesson on trees. I think of trees oftentimes being upright, steadfast, straight. Yes, these are all characteristic of trees and should be characteristic of the Christian.